Praise you, Jesus. Oh, Lord God. Yep, it's going to be all right. Okay, let me lift everybody up and myself in prayer right now for the word. Father, we just thank you now for this atmosphere of faith. Lord, I thank you that you opened up the heavens for us today. Lord, I thank you that our spirits are charged and that we're ready to hear from you today and what you're saying to us, what you're reminding us to do and to be. And Lord, we just thank you for this word this morning. I thank you for filling my mouth with your spirit and with your word. So, Father, I thank you everyone's here is ready to receive everything that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the name of my message today is It Is Written. It is written. So the main scriptures we're going to be looking at today is Mark 4:1, Luke 4:1, Mark 1:9 through 13, and John 1:26. Now we're going to be looking at these scriptures, and as we do, let's learn and imitate Jesus as he encountered and experienced his journey on this earth and how he fulfilled the will of the Father, because he's our perfect example, right? God wants us to remember and to remind us that faith comes by hearing. So we have to keep hearing and doing his will to stay strong. Now let's turn first to John chapter 1, starting in 24. This is going to give us some background. Okay. You ready? You're still turning? John 1:24, we'll start there. It says, then some members of the religious sect known as the Pharisees questioned John, why do you baptize the people since you admit you're not Christ, Elijah, or the prophet? John answered them, I baptize in this river, but the one who will take my place is to be more honored than I. But even when he stands among you, you will not recognize or embrace him. I am not worthy enough to stoop down in front of him to untie his sandals. This all took place at Bethany, where John was baptizing at the place of the crossing of the Jordan River. The very next day, John saw Jesus coming to him to be baptized. And John cried out, look, there he is, God's Lamb. He will take away the sins of the world. I told you that the Mighty One would come, who is far greater than I am, because he existed long before I was born. My baptism was for the preparation of his appearing to Israel, even though I've yet to experience him. Then as John baptized Jesus, he spoke these words. I see the Spirit of God appear like a dove descending from the heavenly realm and landing upon him. And it rested upon him from that moment forward. And even though I've yet to experience him, when I was commissioned to baptize with water, God spoke these words to me. One day you will see the Spirit descend and remain upon a man. He will be the one I have sent to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And now I have seen with discernment, I can tell you for sure that this man is the Son of God. I read out of the Passion. Okay? So Jesus comes on the scene. That was John the Baptist speaking. Jesus comes on the scene and he comes to John the Baptist. It is very important for us as we read these scriptures to be baptized in water, for the cleansing of sin and declare that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Second, we need to be baptized in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus began his ministry after he was baptized. So let's turn, this is all background here. Let's turn to Mark 1, 9 through 12. It says, one day, Jesus came from Galilean village of Nazareth and had John immerse him in the Jordan River. The moment Jesus rose up out of the water, John saw the heavenly realm split open and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove and rested upon him. At that same time, a voice spoke from heaven saying, you are my son, my cherished one, and my greatest delight is in you. Immediately after this, he was compelled by the Holy Spirit to go into an uninhabited desert region. He remained there in the wilderness for 40 days, enduring ordeals of Satan's tests. He encountered wild animals, but also angels who appeared and ministered to his needs. So after Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit compelled Jesus to go into the desert region or the wilderness to experience testings as he was fasting for 40 days. I am going to talk first about the meaning of the wilderness or the desert seasons in our lives. We all go through them. Some may be very long. Barry and I went through a 10-year one. And I'm telling you right now, it wasn't pleasant. Okay? And that's my honest conception of the wilderness experience. You undergo many trials and testings. So why does God make us spend time there? It's a hard and lonely place. God has a plan for us. It is a time of trial, transformation, and a purpose for us to go through these times. It is a time for growth, preparation for something greater in our lives that He is preparing us for. Now, your season could be short, it could be long, it depends. Okay? So as the Israelites wandered through the desert for 40 years, God wanted to reveal himself to them. He wanted their attention. And I'm going to read out of the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 8, 2 to 3. Deuteronomy chapter 8, 2 to 3. And it says this. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you, and he let you be hungry, and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand. And this is important, this part here. Man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. So when we go through these times, we may feel this wilderness experience. We may feel weary, burnt out. Everything seems lifeless or pointless. Maybe chaotic. Everything may seem like an effort. In the Bible, the wilderness or the desert experience is presented as a place of hope. God uses it to speak to his people. The Hebrew word for desert is midbar, and midbar means to speak. Before Jesus started his ministry, Holy Spirit led him to the desert so that God the Father could have a conversation with him. Jesus didn't wander in the desert. He went there on purpose to hear from God, to be alone with God, because there are no distractions. When we are in the wilderness or desert place, there aren't any comforts. It's dry, lonely, and you feel isolated. And as people, we want to escape from it. And I remember feeling like that. When we are in it, we need to surrender to it. Now that's where we didn't. That's why it took so long. When you're in it, you have to surrender to it instead of rejecting it, complaining, and you want to run away. But it is a place to receive the learning and what God is saying to us. When we come out of the wilderness on the other side, we will be stronger, full of the Holy Spirit, have a revelation knowledge, maybe a new authority, a restoration, or a transformation from the experience. Okay, now let's turn to Matthew 4:1. This is not a long message either. This is to remind us. We're going to read 4:1 in Matthew, and then we'll turn to Luke 4:1. The first one's Matthew 4:1, and then the next one will be Luke 4:1. It says, afterward, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the lonely wilderness in order to reveal his strength against the accuser by going through the ordeal of testing. And after fasting for 40 days, Jesus was extremely weak and famished. Then the tempter came to entice him to provide food by doing a miracle. So he said to Jesus, how can you possibly be the Son of God and go hungry? Just order these stones to be turned into loaves of bread. And Jesus answered and said, the scriptures say, bread alone will not satisfy, but true life is found in every word which constantly goes forth from God's mouth. Then the accuser transported Jesus to a holy city of Jerusalem, perched him on the highest point of the temple, and said to him, if you're really God's son, jump, and the angels will catch you. For it is written in the scriptures, so the devil knows scripture too, he will command his angels to protect you, and they will lift you up so that you won't even bruise your foot on a rock. And then once again, Jesus said to him, the scriptures say, you must never put the Lord your God to a test. And the third time the accuser lifted Jesus up onto the very high mountain range and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all the splendor that goes with it. All these kingdoms I will give to you, the accuser said, if only you will kneel down before me and worship me. For Jesus said, go away, enemy, for the scriptures say, kneel before the Lord your God and worship only him. At once the accuser left him, and the angels suddenly gathered around Jesus to minister to his needs. Okay, now let's look at the Luke 4:1 account. And then we'll discuss what's going on here. It says, from the moment of his baptism, Jesus was overflowing with the Holy Spirit. He was taken by the Spirit from the Jordan into a lonely wilderness of Judea to experience the ordeal of testing by the accuser for 40 days. He ate no food during this time and ended his 40-day fast very hungry. It was then the devil said to him, if you really are the Son of God, command this stone to turn into a loaf of bread for you. Jesus replied, I will not, for it is written in the scriptures, life does not come only from eating bread from God. Life flows from every revelation from his mouth. The devil lifted Jesus high into the sky and in a flash showed him all the kingdoms and the regions of the world. So the devil is claiming right here that this world is his. Very interesting. The devil then said to Jesus, all this with all its power, authority, and splendor is mine to give to whomever I wish. Just do one thing, Jesus, and you will have it all. Simply bow down to worship me, and it will be yours, and you will possess everything. Jesus rebuked him and said, Satan, get behind me, for it is written in the scriptures, only one is worthy of your adoration. You will worship before the Lord your God and love him supremely. Next, the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem and set him on the highest point of the temple and tempted him there, saying, if you really are the Son of God, jump down in front of all the people. For it is written in the scriptures, God has given his angels instructions to protect you from harm. For the hands of the angels will hold you up and keep you from hurting even one foot on a stone. And Jesus replied, it is written in the scriptures, how dare you provoke the Lord your God? That finished the devil's harassment for the time being. So he stood off at a distance, retreating until the time came to return to tempt Jesus again. So, what did Jesus experience in the wilderness? Remember, he was fasting for 40 days and praying. That's a long time. I don't know if even some of us can get through a 21-day fast or one-day fast. Jesus was drawing closer to the Father to hear him speak. In the wilderness or desert, it is very barren. It lacks water and food. He was coexisting with wild animals, and then he had to endure the temptations from Satan. Yet it says the presence of the angels remained with Jesus and provided care. When Jesus was hungry and weak, Satan came on the scene. That was his opportunity to tempt him. It was an opportune time for him to tempt Jesus. The wilderness can be a place of spiritual warfare where we face temptations and adversities. Yet Jesus was cared for by the Father and the angels. Even when we go through these times like this, God never leaves us. He is always looking over us, protecting us, even in the midst of our trials. He never leaves us alone. When Satan came after Jesus to tempt him, Jesus came back to Satan with scriptures. It is written. How often do we do that when we get attacked? Or do we just allow him to do it? This is another message about reminding us about the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. We know how powerful the Word is. He gave us the Word to us as a weapon. Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word is alive, full of energy, it's full of power and authority, and his Word doesn't ever return back to him void. It has to be perform what it's sent out to do. And also, the Word builds our faith. I really feel sorry for Christians who do not use the Word or understand that the Word works when we work it or apply it. Without reading and hearing the Word, our spirit man gets very weak. It gets malnourished. We need to physically eat every day, right? To stay strong, we need the Word to feed our spirit man. Jesus said, and it said it right in the Old Testament, I read it to you, man cannot live on bread alone, but on every word spoken out of the mouth of God. Getting back to Jesus as our example, when Satan attacked him, Jesus came back to him with, "It is written." Not only did Satan have to back down, because the word has authority over Satan and he has to back off, God also loves to hear his word back to him. It says in Isaiah 43:26, "Put me in remembrance. Let us argue our case together. State your cause that you may be proved right." Let's remember to remind God what it says in his word when we pray. The word of God delivers and releases. We have to take authority and use our mouth to pray God's word back to him. Pray the scriptures out loud so God can hear it, the enemy can hear it, and we hear it. And as soon as it goes into the atmosphere, it has to perform. You have to believe that. So life and death, what? Is in the power of the tongue. So that's why we have to watch the words that we say and how we speak. His words brings tremendous breakthroughs, and Satan does everything he can to get us away from believing, understanding, and knowing the word of God. Let's remember that the word of God contains many promises about the circumstances and the situations that we all face. Reading, proclaiming, declaring, and meditating on these promises found in the Bible will increase our faith, keeps our faith strong. Romans 10:17 says, once again, faith comes by hearing the word. It is written. Amen. That's it.